Amen. Thank you. Taku manu nui, taku manu rai. Taku manu kare re tau iti iti ki rongai ki tukirau. Oki mai, oki mai, oki mai. This is a pe'e which we call a chant. And it translates like this. O big bird, O small bird, O many birds, as you fly to the four corners of the earth, we ask that one day you would return. And when you do, tell us the song that you would sing. And I just believe that today when we were worshiping and the word that God was saying, and all the things that actually Wes was doing was what God was saying, that you will unite the people. And as they stood up and they united by hand, you will call the people. And as Wes said, he was calling the people out. And so there's a gathering of people coming here today. And God has a purpose and a plan for that. And the thing I want to say to you today, that he knows you by name. He is calling you. Each one of you are here for a purpose and a reason, whether you're here physically or whether you're on a screen back home in your houses. And so you cannot hide, for those of you in the back. You cannot hide for those of you that are on the side. Why? Because he knows you by name. And the purpose, I believe, to say that, to declare it today you are no longer spectators that will sit on a seat. God is calling you to arise and to stand in the purpose that he has called you to. Otherwise, what are we doing here? If we've just come here to listen to Wes's dad jokes, we're not that great. Right? I thought when he was calling for the bucket, he said, whatever you do, don't kick it. Right? And surely God has called us here for something greater and better than we even think that we're possible of. Come on, people of God. The days of playing church are over. The days of pretending are no longer. And here's what I want to say to you. Our faith is fact, not fiction. So when we declare who we are, we stand knowing that our God is the God of fact. He's the God of creation. He's the God of miracles. He's the God of the impossible. And we stand and we declare it because it is fact. When a world would tell us it is fiction, in other words, it's a make-believe. And if you and I cannot stand that our faith is fact, then we will fall, we will crumble, we will enter into the world of doubt. And that is not what God has called us to. Kia rana tātou katoa tō ora mātua tētua. Greetings to us all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Tō tātou rangatira ki rota tia pōnei, e Wes, e tō e hoa. Just wonderful to be here for Wes and Janet. Thank you so much. You know, Mocha and I want to say that we are so blessed by you. We're blessed by your vision, your passion, but your belief. And it is reflected in the legacy that you have. Wasn't it wonderful to see Kimberly here worshiping and worship leading? And then, is it Daniel that was here? Lincoln? I was close. Lincoln playing on the drums, all of 11 years old. Now, I'm a drummer too. And I got to say, Lincoln, man, you're awesome. But you see, that's the legacy, you see. And that's what God has called us to into our families. Irrespective of how difficult and challenging it may be, pursue the legacy that God has for your children and their children and their children. And God will overcome some of those challenges that you have, but keep pursuing them. So I want to just honor you and thank you for what you give as well. So this morning, as we have been sharing, we've been traveling around the country and traveling around the world. I mean, the world, it feels like the world. We can't go around the world, but traveling around the country. And God has burdened us with a few things that we want to share in our heart as well. Tō tātou rangatira, ki a koe, e tia pōni, ki roto tō hāhi, kaumātua Stevens, ki rana ki a koe. Just want to honor you as the kaumātua of this hāhi, of this place of worship as well, and acknowledge the fact of what you bring into this place as well. Te ao tangata e pakari, ki roto te tatu e ti roto te hahi. In other words, what a joy in my heart to see those of us who are the more senior, our mamas and our papas is what we call them, all around here. Do you realize that when you stand here and you look out, you have an intergenerational church? Man, I've got to tell you, in some places, it's either one or the other. And sometimes we can take for granted what God has blessed us with. What a joy in the house to see our mothers, and we say it, our mamas and our papas, our older members of our church, our grandmothers and so forth, and grandfathers. Just thank you for honoring us with your presence and being here as well. It's just so awesome to be able to do that. So this morning we could show you 100 slides, but we're only going to show you one slide, and we're going to tell one story that we believe that God has laid on our hearts. And as Mok and I had been praying 2 weeks ago, the Lord laid something on our heart, especially for Living Waters. And so I'm going to ask Mokka to come up and just share that word that she had specifically for you as well. And so I just want to honor my beautiful wife, Mokka, who's going to come up. And she's going to do that now.
Thank you, everybody, and for welcoming us. On the 30th of May last year, we were here. So it's nearly a year. And Alfred and I were here, Amanda gave us a word, and a word that she, most of it was around how Jesus really loves Alfred and I. And Amanda, if you're here, we really needed to hear that word. So thank you for your obedience, and thank you for taking the time to record it and send it to us. So I want to honor you and say thank you. With Janet, I want to say thank you, because before, when we were still in politics, you got some people to prophesy and send some of those prophecies over to us. And at the time, I couldn't fully understand nor comprehend what was given. But it's only now, when I keep going back and recognize that God has already spoken into our lives even before things occurred. So I just want to thank you for that. Thank you for, I think, Anne Morrow and Naue and others sent it through, and they came from this church. So just really want to say thank you. And Wes, you mentioned that you guys came up, and Wes and Janet came up, and they prayed for us, encouraged us when we were going through, when we were campaigning. And I have to say, when we were campaigning, I was living on tights and shoes and running shoes, because we would have to, you have to man the whole place and running in and deliver and do all sorts of things. And Chris Rumsman and Mal were very much part of that process. But I stopped for a second, and I went home, and I put on a skirt and a pretty dress and a pretty top, because I don't know what Janet was going to be like, and I wanted to present myself to these pastors who come out from South, only to discover that she came up with a leather jacket, and I think, oh my gosh, phony new. So never to be repeated again. I want to share, Alfred and I talked about this, and there was a number that God gave us just before we came out of politics, number 11. And that continued to sit with us all the way through. And the last time when we were here down South Island, there was blood moon. And Alfred and I watched this blood moon down in Mosgiel. And the best time to see that blood moon take place in full was at 11 past 11 p.m. And so I thought, okay. And I thought, okay, 11 is great. I'll share this number 11 with Janet as well, and still sits. And on our way here, and we start travelling again, when we were having coffee, number 11 came up again. When we were parking, number 11 came up again. A friend of ours, Chris Runciman, sent number 11 again when he was right there. Even today, 11, and in your son, your grandson, 11 years old. So everything seems to be 11. Not that I go looking for it, 11 came up. So 2 weeks ago, as Alfred and I were praying, and what came to me was Apollo 11, the eagle has landed. Okay? And that's facts. You guys can look that up. You know, Apollo 11, when it reaches the moon and it stepped, and Neil Armstrong, and that was on the... So that's the word I want to bring in. The 8th of December 1968. And this is what he said. Houston, Tranquility Base here, the eagle has landed, and that's Apollo 11. And he said this. That's one small step for mankind. One giant leap for man. One small step for man. One giant leap for mankind. And I thought, I love that. That's facts. Just have a footstep on the moon. A first footprint on the moon. And I went on to look a little bit more around it. Why is it important? And there's a video. There's a little clip. Yes, can we just show that clip and then I'll tie it in and I'll give it.
Of economics, technology, and politics. In the 1960s, the United States and the Soviet Union were both seeking higher ground. Each country was stockpiling nuclear arms and advancing missile technology. The Soviets had been the first to orbit both a satellite and a human. They were clearly ahead. I'm NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine. For 5 years, I served in the U.S. Congress on the Science Committee, which oversees NASA. Written on the wall is a scripture, where there is no vision, the people perish. On May 25, 1961, President John F. Kennedy presented Congress with the most inspirational vision in history, and he gave it a deadline.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out, of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
This vision was placed in jeopardy when, in 1967, the Apollo 1 fire killed Gus Grissom, Ed White, and Roger Chaffee. And then in 1968, the uncrewed Apollo 6 mission also failed. Still, the Soviets planned to fly around the moon as early as the end of 1968. So NASA made aggressive and even dangerous plans. The plan was to skip two Apollo test flights, drop the moon lander, and go directly to lunar orbit with humans. At a time when nobody had ever flown more than 850 miles above the Earth, NASA planned to fly 240,000 miles to the moon. NASA considered the risks. The Saturn V rocket had never flown a crew before. Its previous mission was a failure. Critical components were not ready, such as mission control, communication networks, software, and instrumentation. Trajectories and navigation were not even understood, let alone calculated. An astronaut crew and a flight control team were not trained, and there was no ability to recover the crew if they returned at all. Finally, without a moon lander, Apollo 8 would have only a single engine. It would need to be reignited many times to get to the moon, to enter lunar orbit, to change orbits while at the moon, to exit lunar orbit, and to fly back to Earth. In the previous mission, that single engine failed to reignite even once. If it failed now, our astronauts would be lost forever. The optimum Earth-Moon alignment would place Apollo 8 in orbit around the moon in just 4 short months. A dangerously aggressive schedule given all that was needed to be accomplished. even more worrisome, our astronauts would be in lunar orbit on Christmas Day. Any failure would wreck Christmas for the entire nation. NASA worked overtime, and NASA was dedicated.
The engines are on. 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Christmas Eve, Frank Borman, Jim Lovell, and Bill Anders were the first humans to orbit the moon and the first humans to see an Earth rise above the moon's surface. As they orbited the moon, they made their last broadcast before attempting to reignite their single engine to return home. This broadcast was seen or heard by one out of every four people on the Earth, including the people behind the Soviet Union's Iron Curtain, where Christmas was still illegal. This was their message.
For all the people back on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message that we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light. That it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning was the first day. God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters. Let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament. And divided the waters which were under the firmament, the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning was the second day.
God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place.
Thank you. Have you seen that clip before? The reason why, you know, God woke me up and said, have a look at this. And I about 3 o'clock in the morning, and that came through. And this was the message behind, before anybody walks on my moon, they need to give glory to the author of Creator. Yeah. Before anybody. And you see, the three astronauts were asked to say something appropriate once they get to the moon, and they said to them, "You've got to really be prepared because it's going to be seen all over the world." So what they did is they contact Joe Layton, who used to be who's a newspaper man at the time, and he and his wife came up with Genesis 1. Verse 1 to verse 10. Now, isn't it beautiful? I mean, to think that that's how big our God is. And before Apollo 11 land, God needs to be given honor and glory, for he is, you know, for he is God. And what sits with us, with me, is this. The second heaven, the galaxy, is dark. It's got moon, it's got stars. It's got, there's no, people, we are still wanting to find out if there's life there. And to think that God decided to create Earth just for you and me. And beautifully he made. And the reason why I want to bring this word is that I want to say to Living Waters, you are dreaming moon dreams. This is, you know, just your church, the things where you're taking them. This is a vision. And the vision needs people and people to believe. Just like when President Kennedy said, we need to have a goal. We need to have a vision as a nation. And when I came here the last time and I'm in here, I just want to encourage, where's Janet? That this is a moon vision. And it will get there. And when it does, it will be that eagle say, when you build your building, and the eagle was, and you'll be able to say, the eagle has landed. And I want to encourage people here, the Living Waters, you have to stick with the vision. You have to build the vision together. It's going to be tested. It's going to be on trials. There are going to be some casualty in the spirit when you might not agree with it, or you might, or might think it's a bit too much. But the vision does land. And when it does, it's generational. It is generational. So may I pray for the vision that you both have, that the church have, for here and for this area. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're a God of facts. That Father, that the man did step onto the moon. A footprint, a small footprint for man, but a leap for mankind. And Father, I want to thank you because that's what you put in my spirit to share tonight, today, with this church, with Living Waters. And Father, we pray that you continue to put your everything in place, everything in order. And Father, that Apollo 11, that the eagle has landed, and when they come to that place, Lord, you are going to be glorified even more. And it's not just going to be for this generation. It's going to be for many more generations to come. And I want to thank you for that, Lord God. I want to thank you for Janet and Wes and for the family and for the spiritual family that sits in this corner here on the street. Father, we welcome you again and we say, let your vision come to reality, Father, sooner than later. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mocha.
Thank you, Mocha. What I love about when you watch that video is that, so what John F. Kennedy, as the president, said was that he declared the vision. Do you remember that what they said, that on the walls of Congress from Proverbs, the people without a vision will perish? Isn't it amazing? In Congress. So you see, the thing is that God presents himself, and when people follow, here's what happens. A president, and irrespective of that he's a man, God will use people to declare a vision to a nation. In the speech he said, and we shall fly to the moon, not because it is easy, but because it is hard. And so I want to say to you this, that to follow Christ is not because it's easy, but because it is hard. Because it is difficult. The hardness is the fact is that God has to turn us inside out. He has to take us back to his original plan from what he had mandate and had originally designed for us. And if you want to know, go to Psalm 139. What an awesome psalm. For we were fearfully and wonderfully made. All the days ordained for us have been written in his book. But then you have to go to verse 23 and 24, which we often miss. And here's what it says. Lord, check my heart. Test my thoughts. Because David realized for all of those things, first of all, start with me. Have your way with me. Do what you need to do. And the great thing is that as the NASA team realized, in order to step on the moon, they had to see what the moon looked like around the lunar orbit they had and to see the galaxy for what it is. Can I say to you this? In order for us to truly step into the things God's calling us, we need to have the gaze of God. Because for a moment, what happened, the world began to see as God sees us. And all the circumstances around us. And here was this astronauts, and there's another interview, they said, we're just astronauts, we're engineers, we're scientists. We don't know what to do. And of all the things they could come to, they came to one thing. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning, God created. And so people of God, here's the message for you. You've got to go back to the beginning. That's your starting point. That's your starting point to begin again as God has destined for each and every one of us. And then ask for the gaze of God. In other words, Lord, how do you see us in the world around us? So that our circumstance will not define our destiny, our purpose that God has for us. That's why it becomes really important. And once we do that, then we're ready to step onto the moon. Because you can't step on unless you see it. You can't step into the things of God unless you see the gaze of God. Amen? That's right. Lord, help me to see what you see. Help me to know what you know. Help me to feel what you feel. That's when, all of a sudden, then Lord, use me. Use me. And that's what God will do. We've got one slide to show. And this is a message that I believe that God has laid on our hearts for this nation. Because this is a walk on the moon. God is resetting the course of this nation from what it was before. And in 2018, and that's when Wes and Janet were there, and then Christians came out. Why? Because the name of Jesus was taken out of the parliamentary prayer. And the speaker decided it was a good thing. You know what that tells us? The world sees God and us as irrelevant. And I love that. You know why? Because now we're stirred up into action. Now you and I need to ask the question, is our God fact? Is our faith a fact or is it fiction? Because they would say it's a world of unbelief. Why would you need to have Jesus in a parliamentary prayer? And yet here's the reality. When that word came, the footprint of faith is deep and wide in this land. You see, what Trevor Mallard didn't know is that that was the very first debate in Parliament in 1854 on the 26th of May. When I have to say to you, I give honour to the MP McAndrew, who came from where? Christchurch. Your MP at that time. And here's what he said. Point of order, Mr. Speaker. Before we begin to debate, deliberate, and eventually decide the affairs of this nation, we need divine guidance. In other words, we need Jesus Christ. And so for the next 2 hours, Catholics and Protestants debated, as they always do. What should it look like? What should it sound like? What should be the right words? They got to the point where they came to an agreement and they prayed the prayer. Lord, we beseech thee that you would give us divine guidance. Putting all personal interests aside. In other words, it's not about us, it's about you. That we would ask that you would give us the ability to conduct the affairs of this nation to thy holy name. That's the standard. That's what their prayer said. The standard is to God's holy name. Wow. To seek the peace and tranquility of this nation, we honor the name of the Queen and of the Crown, and we pray this in Jesus' name. That's what their prayer was. That is a footprint of faith that God had placed an impression into the land. Do you know that God has many footprints in many places in our nation, waiting for you and I to go and discover them? They are there. God has gone before us. His impressions are there. And he's waiting for you and I to discover them and to pronounce them, and more importantly, to declare them. Just as the astronauts got up to the moon, What will be your declaration to your family, to your whānau, to your community, to your nation? When you are up there seeing the gaze of God, what will you say? And here's what they said. Remember, in the beginning, God created. That's the words of declaration that you have to make. So to living waters, to the people of God that are here, you have to make a declaration when you see the gaze of God. You declare out into the nation what you see. And as Mocha said, the glory of God. I love when it says, for the train of his robe fills the temple and his glory fills the earth. That's what God is doing. So here's what's happening, is that God is resetting the course of this nation. You see, not long after that, we can call it a protest, because otherwise poor Wes will be banned from going onto Parliament. But it was like a noho marae, right? They came, and at that time, they said, we want to make a declaration, put the name of Jesus back. Do you know the amazing thing is? There was a prophetic word by this Māori woman, Kaimana, who'd been praying, and she said, Alfred, when you speak, God's given you a rod like Moses, and when it strikes the earth will shake. And later on that day in October, as I was inside the House of Parliament, and I was simply reading a prayer, an amendment bill called the Residential Tenancies Amendment Bill. And as I read that out and just started talking, there was a massive earthquake that happened in Parliament. It was 6.8 on the Richter scale. It was 208 kilometres deep. And as geologists said, that when it hit the bottom, it went out and covered both the North and the South Island. Deep and wide. Deep and wide. That's God's declaration, right? So you don't mess with him. That's his declaration. His footsteps are deep and wide in this nation. And so that's an amazing thing that God's doing. And then it wasn't long after that, then the Lord spoke really clearly. And he said to me this, I'm about to reset the course of this nation. And then we had a number of Māori intercessors who came to my office. And I had these divine encounters where people would just show up. And they just showed up and they said, oh, look, we've been praying and we know that you've been called to be the watchman on this tower. And I said, okay, that's great. And he said, but every watchman needs a map and a set of instructions. And I said, okay. So this map here, they had been praying over the maps of all the different maps for the nation. This map came from the Turnbull Library. It's a map of 1850, 10 years after the signing of the Treaty of Waitangi. And on this map, what's amazing is that the names that they were trying to give for the different parts of the island and around the country were still being formed. So are there any Irish inside the audience? Great. Top of the morning to you. The North Island, Deka o Maui, they were going to call it New Ulster. Interesting, eh? Go figure. New Ulster. When you get down to Te Waipounaumu, that's you, the South Island, they were going to call it New Munster or Middle Island. Amazing, eh? We would have all been Irish if we got all those names. Nothing wrong with that. And so I said to them, so what is it that the Lord's saying to you? 10 years on, right, they were still trying to set the course by the names they had for the place and for the people. And the Lord was saying, I'm about to reset those things. Not to rename them in a sense, because they'll still be there. There may be some. And so the verse that came was from Isaiah 62, verse 10 and 11. And what I love by this, it says this, pass through the gates, prepare the way for the people, build up the highway, remove the stones. Raise a banner to the nations. The Lord has made a proclamation to the ends of the earth. That's us. We are the ends of the earth. We're the fulfillment of the Great Commission to go out into the outer parts of the earth and preach the gospel and make disciples. You can't get any further than that. And then he says, say to the daughter of Zion, that's Jerusalem, behold, your Savior comes. See, the reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. So God is about to return the gospel from whence it came. New Zealand will be a sending nation again, as it was before. And as the gospel came, God will use us. Hence the reason for the legacy. Hence the reason that, isn't it interesting that this morning, about the, won't say the name, but the country, about the heart of mission that people have. Why? To go out and to proclaim the gospel of good news. So God's going to reset the course of this nation, and he's going to use you and I to do that. But in order for him to do that, he has to start with us. And this is the hard part, isn't it? To be honest, that part's the easy part. The hard part is when he starts with you and I. And that's the reason why this morning, the pe'e in the chant is because he wants to say to you, he knows you by name. He knows you by name. And I love the fact is that when Mocha said, you know, when Neil Armstrong and those famous words, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. People of God, I want to say this to you and I want you to get that this morning. When you take your one small step, do you realize that in the spirit, there's a massive step that's happening? You see, that's why you've got to take your step. You've got to step out. And when you do, my gosh, it may be small in your sight, but in the eyes of God and the eyes of the spirit, it is huge. You are taking mankind. Why? Because God and the Spirit is taking mankind. When you step out of your brokenness, then God begins to see the hope and the light and you declare it. That's what it does. When you step into the darkness that you know that is there with family, whānau, and in our community, my goodness, your one small step, the Spirit of God steps big. You may think you step small, but the Spirit of God steps big. And that's what it's declaring. That's why he's resetting the course of this nation. So what do we need to do? For you here in Christchurch, I love this. Because a year ago when we were here, and Janet looked across and said, do you have a word? And I said, yes, it's this. Christ's church. Christ's church. This place, this name, as you know, also comes from a place around Oxford in the United Kingdom. And do you know when you look it up, do you know what it says? It's two words. Christ Church. Not the two together. And so God is going to use this place. Why? Because this is a foundational city to the nation. Now all the other part of the cities and around the nation have their place of importance. Whether it is, for instance, in Tairawhiti, in the Maunga ki Hikorangi. Why? Because it's the first place to see the rising of the sun. Each one has a place of significance. This morning I'm speaking to you. You that are here. And why are you important as living waters? Because the first thing it says is push through the gates. You are pushing through the gates. You're in a tent for a purpose, for a season. Why? Because then God can move you. God can move you. Right? Because if you had your four walls, you'd be sitting still. But for a season, God has got you in a tent. Why? Because God can move you. And then you're not stuck or confined to a building at this time. You're willing to be moved by God. You're willing to go to the places that God's calling to. That's the reasons why you're in a tent. But I love that. Because you know what they did, the people of old, the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Do you know what they did? They found the right place, they pitched the tent, they built an altar, and guess what they did? They dug a well. That's why this is living water. You have dug a well. And what is the well? It's a covenant between God and man. That's what it is. And you know, the wonderful thing about that, when you think about the stories of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's generational. That's what this word is coming, generational. Right? What you sow today, it will be reaped tomorrow. So you have pitched your tent. You have made your altar. Now you are digging your well. That's why you are living waters. And from this place, God will use you to feed your city. So you're going to push through the gates. So I want to say to you, as Mocha said, push through the gates. Say after me, push through the gates. Okay, you couldn't even push a roller door like that. Come on, push through the gates. That's right. That's what you've been called to. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
You do realize that means I agree. You've now committed yourself to pushing through the gates. Don't say something that you don't mean. Let your yes be yes and let your no be no. So if you've just said push through the gates, then you start pushing through your gates. That's what it actually means. Remember, we're not playing church anymore. We're moving on. And I love this when it says, what you call prepare the highway for the people. You know, the Bible often talks about it as a highway of holiness. In other words, preparing our hearts. It says, remove the stones. There will be stones in your life. And as we've been traveling, you know, the most common stones that are there are the ones that the enemy trades in. Do you know he's a trader? He's a hustler. And I tell you what, he's good looking. Because he doesn't come in the ways that sometimes people picture him as looking dark and ugly. And he hustles. And here's what he hustles with. Shame and guilt. That's what he hustles with. Shame and guilt every day. And you want a theology for that? Read Genesis 3. And as God's going into the garden, he cries out. He calls out, where are you? And here's what Wes says. We're hiding because we're naked. No, he didn't say that. Mind you, I'd be hiding too if I was him. But anyway. But God said to him, where are you? And he said, we're hiding. Why? Because we're naked and we're ashamed. What happened? And I love this. As a son of Adam, well, it's the woman that you gave me. Isn't that? What a double banger. That's what blokes do all the time. Well, it's not my fault. You know, it's you. It's, you gave me that rib. You gave me that woman. Shame and guilt is what the enemy trades in all the time. People of God, I want to say to you, the blood of Jesus and the power of the cross came to lift all shame and all guilt. All shame and guilt. And there was just last year when Mocha and I were traveling up from Tauranga back up to Auckland, and here's a word that the Lord gave to me. I want you to awaken the giant slayers who have hid their weapons of war under their beds because of circumstance. And there have been people who in the past, God has used you in a mighty way. But there's been a circumstance that has maybe brought you shame and brought you guilt. And because of that, you felt unable to be able to step into the things that God wants you to. And God wants to say to you, awaken, lift off the shame and guilt, and now take up your weapons of war. Because he needs you. So you are giant slayers, and if you're out there, you know who you are. Why? Because God knows you by name. He knows you by name. And it's your time to rise and awaken. And in the city of Christchurch, in Living Waters, the people of God, you need to push through the gates. You need to prepare the highway to holiness. You need to remove the stones. And you need to stand in the authority that God has given you. And before this nation and this city will change, you have to first of all have the gaze of God. You need to fly to the moon. Not because it's easy, but because it's hard. But when you get there, you will see the glory and splendor of God. That's what he's creating. And what I love about this, then when you get there, here's your message that you give, your declaration. To the daughter of Zion, to the place where it all began, to Israel. Behold, your Savior comes. Because he's coming. And when he comes, you and I are going to make this declaration. That's what our job is to prepare the way for the coming of the King. That's what we're called to do. Prepare the way for the coming of the King. And so God's going to go through this nation. He's going to sweep it. He's going to reconcile the broken pieces. He's going to remove the stones that are not meant to be there, and he's going to replace them with the living stones. That's who you and I, we are the living stones. And when he does that, my gosh, then we will see the glory of God. The glory of God. He's calling you too as well on the different mountains of influence that are out there. For those of you that are in business, for those of you that are in education, for those of you that are in health and culture and so forth. Why? Because remember, God's building a kingdom. He's not just building the church. God uses the church to build the kingdom. And we want a whole of this. When God is resetting, He's resetting everything. He's going to reset government. He's going to reset education. He's going to reset health. He's going to reset culture. Why? Because He's going to take it back to the original plan. In the beginning, God had created these things. That's what He's calling for us to do. So that's our message that we believe God has on our hearts to share with you. And I want to encourage you with this. There's a movement happening, and we are seeing it. Last week, we were in a marae called Te Rangi Maria e Te Rangatane Marae, which is over around Palmerston North. And we had about 120 Māori leaders that came there. And you know, there's a generation of those who committed themselves to the Lord. My gosh, what an amazing and a powerful time that we felt the Lord had used us there to again to see the heart of tangata whenua begin to stand and rise and take their role of responsibility. Why? Because they are the kaitiaki. They are the ones who are the guardians of the land and of the people. And God will use them like the sons of Issachar to be able to see and understand the signs and the times. And when they break through, my goodness, they will lead us into the glory of God. That's what they're called to do. That's what we're beginning to see. So this morning, if you believe that God has called you by name, and in a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand and arise. And as you stand, I'm going to ask you to take a little step forward. One small step for man, one giant step for mankind in the Spirit of God that He's called us to. And as you do, each one of you has a purpose and a plan that God's going to use. Some of you that are here will be used for reconciliation. And Rob and I were just having a moment. We were talking. Thank you, Rob, for sharing your calling that God has on your heart to bring reconciliation into our nation and amongst our people. But there will be a number of you here that are doing that as well. We know that the governmental mantle that God has given to us is to be able to pronounce that and to release that into the city and amongst His people. And that's what we're here to do, is to serve you. And so in a moment, we're going to do that. So if you feel called to be able to stand and do the things that God has called you to do, to push through the gates, then I'm going to ask you to stand right now. Can we just have the worship team come up? Is that okay? Going to ask Wes and Janet to come up here and Mocha to come as well. We're going to start with you guys. You know, we love you guys. We love what God has had on your heart. And what I love about what I've heard in many times and was the day that you fought for the life of your grandchild. You fought for the life of your grandchild. And inside of you is the DNA of what it means to fight for the things that God has called on you. You're not a passive man, though you can be passive aggressive. But I just love the fact is that you're a fighter, both of you. And you're a seer. You see, the things that you need to fight for, and you fight for the things that she sees. And Lord, I just want to pray that upon this couple, you have got a vision and just a passion and desire. You know, Janet, the things that God has laid on your in your heart to see, these open-eyed visions, is for a purpose and a reason. Because you will help others to see. You'll be like an igniter that just ignites one flame after another and another and another. So that people will be able to have like a torch that leads them into places that God is leading them for a sense of purpose. Thank you. You know, for you, Wes, I want to say I just love the fact is that You put masculinity into spirituality. The truth. You are a fighter. And you tell us to fight for the things that we know that are so important to us. And so as God leads you, you're going to help others to know what it is to fight for the things that are important. But also too, you're going to release other people who felt like they've been ashamed. Fathers and husbands and even men who at days have lost the will of what it is to know how to fight for the things that are really important. And you're going to speak into them and say to them, stand with me. Let us walk and let us run into the fields. Let us do what we need to do. And so we just want to honor you both. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just thank you for what you've gifted to this couple, their ministry and what you're calling them to, not just for this city and this community, but for this nation and for the nations. We honor you before the Lord, your God, our God as well. Amen. Thank you, Father God. Father God.
Can we sit down?
Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Father God. The last time we were here a year ago, we also prayed for reconciliation in our nation. We asked for those who were of Ngāi Tahu or others that were here, and also for the descendancy. You see, there are those of you that are in here who have authority because of the generations of those that have been here in this city. And in your bones, there are the remnants of those that have gone before you. And some of those things may not have been the right things or the good things that may have been done, but today you have an opportunity to put some of those things right. So Moana, I'm going to ask you to come up here, because you hold within you the heart of that. I'm going to ask our komatsu also to come up as well. And just to come and stand here, Kenny. And for those of you that are here who've got a generational connection to the city, who God has laid on your heart to bring reconciliation, I'm going to ask you to come up and stand right here in the front. Because we're going to make a declaration here. Do you want to come forward over here? Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Moana, can you come up to the front? I'm going to ask you to say that prayer. I'm going to ask Moana to say this. Can you just hold hands for those of you that are connected here? We're going to make this declaration because we're going to declare that Lord would heal the brokenness and restore that which he had destined from the beginning. And I know that Moana holds that within her. So you lead us through the declaration that the Lord has on your heart for us today.
Let's just pray in tongues before the Lord. Avirayana mamakiana siena masukwindaya. Alalayana mamakiana siena masukwindaya, give him glory. Avirayana mamakiana siena masukwindaya makwilalaya. Alalayana mamakiana siena masukwindaya makwilalaya kwekwea arayana mamakiana siena masukwindaya. Koe koea araiana mamakia na siana masukuenda ia maa kuelele ia koe koea araiana mamakia. Alalaiana mamakia na siana masukuenda ia maa kuelele ia koe koea araiana mamakia na siana masukuenda ia maa kuelele ia. Alalaiana mamakia na siana masukuenda ia maa kuelele ia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Let's go through step by step. Father God, this is what I think we should do. I'll just follow me. Follow me. Follow me. Father God, we recognize your very great light because of and through your heart of tender mercy. and loving kindness. Your great light from on high has touched these lands and brought us out of darkness and out of the shadow of death. That you will lead us. You are leading us by your great light into the way of peace. We decree this very day the reconciliation of two people throughout these lands. Dewaiponamu, starting from the bottom end, streaming through the nation, uniting the people, Maori and European, according to his original intent, according to your original intent, according to your original plan. Father, we decree that we are your people, that the broken places are healing by your great light that flows amongst and within us. You have released your light of tremendous power and glory for one purpose, to unite, to whakakotahi, to unite, to bring us together for one purpose, Lord God, that we turn and face and love our neighbors as ourselves and begin to fulfill your plan for us. Maori and European and every nation in the nation, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one more thing. We are a nation to be sent. We are a nation who is to be sent. Let's do it together. We are a nation to be sent. There is a voice within us that must go out from this nation. It comes from you and I, Maori, European, and every nation in the nations. Every nation in the nation. Together, the voice set within us, unique to each one of us, must come up, take life, and be sent forward. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I decree this day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. I just feel that we also too need to pray for the fathers for the fathers and sons. And so if you're a father here today and you feel that on your heart that we need to pray for the fathers of our nation, then you fathers, you come forward. And I'm going to ask Wes to pray over us as fathers of the nation. We need our men to stand up and stand forward. And if that's you and you would like to stand here on behalf of the fathers of our nation, of your community, if you know that there is a brokenness in the relationships that you have between fathers and sons throughout the generations, then you come forward. Because we need our men to stand strong. We need to heal the brokenness that exists. We need men to be men. And more importantly, men of God. We need our children seeing us as men of God, because one day they will do as we have done. That's what he's calling us to. And so we're calling out to the fathers of this nation, be the man that God has called you to be. I'm going to ask Wes to pray over us.
Father, we thank you that the spirit of Elijah, who is one of the dimensions of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is moving through our nation, through the nations of the world, turning the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children back to the fathers. So today we recognize, Lord, that there has been a very significant and strategic attack on fatherhood, manhood, and fathering. And Lord, there's been confusion as to what it is to be truly masculine. And so, Father, today I pray for all of these men and for the men of our nation that a true image of masculinity, of kingdom of God, of image of Christ, masculinity would be formed within us as men. Lord, the masculinity that is truly spiritual and in the image of Christ, tough when we need to be tough and tender when we need to be tender. So pray with me today. Father, in Jesus' name, I present myself as a candidate for further transformation and the true Christ-like masculinity to be formed in me, where I can be a father to many, a father to my sons and daughters, but also a father to many who are fatherless in our nation. Today, Lord, I step up and I take a step in you to say, fashion even more of your Christ-like masculinity within me, that I would not be ashamed, that I would not be confused, that I would not be torn, but I would see you and I would be formed in you and be a voice of reconciliation and a voice of fathering in this generation to establish an inheritance for generations to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you to our men. I'm going to ask our mothers and our women to come forward. This is all part of the generations. God is restoring these moments for us as well. So if our mothers can come forward. And in a moment, I'm going to ask Janet to pray. You know, in Polynesia and in Maori language, they say a thing called kōpū tangata. Kōpū means actually the womb. And the recognition and the honor of woman is so important. Just as God had created, our mothers are so precious to us. It's so important. And so I'm just going to ask Janet just to pray for our mothers. Because you see, it's a mother's heart and a mother's prayers that have been felt so much by so many. And so Janet, just going to ask if you can come and just pray.
Father, I thank you for the woman in this nation, the godly woman who is stepping up. It's like they're stepping up to the plate, Lord. Father, I thank you for the dreams that you've put within them, for the children that you've given them to raise, Lord God, but also the dreams that you've given them to raise and to hold before you, Lord God, for the visions that you've given them to step into, to press into, for the doors that you've given them to break down. Father, I thank you for these women, Lord God. Father, I thank you for the partnership that you are healing between men and women in this nation. The mothers and the fathers standing shoulder to shoulder. The warrior princesses standing shoulder to shoulder with the warriors, Lord God. And Father, even as you give the sound of charge, Lord God, there's a stepping in unity that's beginning in this nation. There's a healing of the rifts happening in this nation, even between genders, Lord God. Father, I thank you for the strength of unity that you are rising in this nation, Lord God. Father, I thank you for your healing, even in
in this house, Lord God, between men and women, Lord God. Father, I declare it and I decree it, Lord God. Father, we lay down our personal agendas. We lay down personal offenses and pain, shame, Lord, things that would hold us back from running side by side with swords drawn, Lord God. Father, we lay them down, Lord. We lay them down. We thank you for the healing of hearts, Lord God, and the knitting of hearts, the knitting of visions, the knitting of passion, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for moving amongst us. Roso kapata, shuro kokota mane, siata toa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Father, I want to thank you for our grandparents. Father, I want to thank you for grandparents, for grandmothers. I thank you, Father, for their faithfulness. I thank you, Father, for the way they have raised your children and their grandchildren. I thank you for they are the stable person in the lives of a family. I thank you, Lord. There's a word in Samuel, faletua. And faletua means the backbone of the house. Father, I want to thank you. I thank you, Father, for making us women. I thank you, Father, for the gift of birth. I thank you, Lord, for the nurturing spirit. Father, I thank you. And Lord, I want to bring each and every mother, every potential mother, aunties who are stepmothers, grandparents who are surrogate grandparents, grandmothers, Father, I want to thank you for them. I want to thank you for each one of them. Father, I want to pray healing. I want to pray healing for those who are not well. I want to pray healing to those who are not able to have children yet. I want to pray healing, Lord God, your healing power upon those who have their hearts have been broken. I want to pray healing and clear healing to each and every woman here, Lord God, who are going through some kind of sickness within their bodies. Father, heal them, Lord, because you created each and every one of us fearfully and wonderfully. And you know every single thing about our genes, about our blood cells, about our hearts, about the neurons that helps us in our brains to fire up. Father, we are your creation, and we want to thank you. We want to thank you. We want to pray for our daughters. Father, for our little princesses. Father, for our teenage daughters. Father, keep them safe. Keep them safe from the snare of the world that will tell them lies. Father, keep them safe. Heal them, Lord. And keep their mind and their heart protected in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Father. Just stay where you are. If there are any young people in the audience, can you just come forward to the front? If we just come through maybe the center here. But we'll just stay. Are there any of those who feel like they'd like to be young? Even if we just have, so you can just represent our youth and our young people as well. So if you're younger, if you can just come to the front. And if our men at the back can just come closer. So we're just going to, thank you. Oh, you're awesome. You made our slides look good. Cool. Yeah, come forward. We just spread out on the front here. Awesome. Thank you. Is the youth leader here? Youth pastor? Is he? Sorry? Okay. Sorry, what's your name?
Oscar.
Oscar. Come on up, Oscar.
My wife, Kalila.
Oh, you can come up too, Kalila. Yeah. So you're not the youth leaders, but you're part of the youth, right?
Young adults leaders.
Young adults leaders, sorry. That's right, the difference is, eh? Youth, young adults as well, so. Okay.
Sam here?
Well, our prayers can reach them. Okay? That's okay. So, Oscar, in a moment, I'm going to get you to pray what God has laid on your heart, right? To be able to pray for our young adults and our youth as well. And, yeah. Awesome.
Okay. Yeah, thank you, Father, for your chosen ones, your beloved children, this mighty nation, this generation you're raising up, Lord, for your eternal purposes, and for the building of your kingdom, Lord. And I just thank you, I really feel the Lord saying, that there's been a real search for purpose in this day, in this generation. A real grieving and a mourning, feeling like they've lost their future. But the Lord's saying, nothing has taken away your future. Nothing has changed your destiny. Nothing can affect it. For I am the one who gives it to you. And it is a gift. And nothing from me can be stolen. For it's an eternal gift. Given without repentance. You don't have to earn it. You could never be worthy of it. It's given because of who He is, because of His love. And He's saying it's yours. It belongs to you. And you can walk in that today. And in Him you will find it. Outside of Him you will not find purpose. Outside of Jesus Christ, life will seem purposeless. You'll spend your whole life searching and searching, but in Him you will find everything you need. So I thank you, Jesus, for the call upon the lives of every person under the sound of my voice, especially this young generation, God, that you are raising up upon the shoulders of those that have gone before them to do the works of the kingdom. You will do greater things than I have done, Jesus said, because I have gone to the Father. This is a promise you can stand on. You can hold close to your heart and everything that you face. Believe it. Believe that you will do greater things than what Jesus did, because He has gone and He has sent to you the Holy Spirit, who will empower you to succeed in everything you do. For His glory and His glory alone. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Shut that amount of water. Amen. Father God, I thank you for Oscar and I thank you for his heart. I thank you for his karakia, his prayer, Lord God. And Lord, I just lift him and his wife and all of those that are here, Father God, and who are away even in Hamner Springs, Lord God, that for our youth and our young people. Father God, we pray the prophetic word of the prophet Joel, Lord God, that, Father God, that he will pull out his spirit, Father God, on young and old, Lord God. They shall dream dreams, they shall have visions, Father God, both men and women, Lord God, for such a time as this, Lord God, you've called. And so, Father God, we just pray now, you just pour out, as Oscar has said, a real sense of purpose, Father God. As they seek you, they will find you, Lord God. As they call out to you, Father God, they will hear you when they seek you with all their heart, Lord God. Father God, we just pray for our youth, our young people, our young adults, that, Father God, their journey will be the search, Father God, to pursue you, Lord God. And Father God, they won't need to look very far because you are the God that pursues us. And Father God, you declare this in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And Father God, I pray that they would open the door to you. And Father God, that you come and you dine with them, you spend time with them, you share, you talk, you hear, Lord God. And so, Father God, we pray for that fresh anointing, Lord God, upon our young children, upon our youth and our young adults, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So if you just, you guys all stay here at the front. Those of you at the back, if you can come forward. So we're just going to get a little tight because it means we stay a little bit warmer to what God's doing. I just really feel that tonight's session that you have, that there's going to be a lifting of the lid on the prophetic words. So come tonight, because I just believe that God's going to do that. Why? Because when we open the hearts of who we are to Him, then God comes and He enters in. His Spirit will enter in. And I just believe there's going to be, just tonight, there's the session that you're going to have. Be open to hear what God has for you as well. You know, just, it's such an encouragement to see you. This is the army of God. When the army of God rises. And why is that? Because it's generational. Why is that? Because it's the willing. You know, God's looking for the heart of the willing. So don't look and doubt maybe your circumstance. Lord, I don't have the same experience. I haven't been there. I don't look like what they want me to be. But the gaze of God, remember, sees you, knows you, and He has called you by name. He has called you by name. We just love you, Living Waters. We just love to see what God is going to do to use you to push through the gates of the city. He's going to use you to push through the gates of the city. You're going to prepare the highway of holiness, and that way, in other words, the highway to His presence. You're going to remove stones that have been put into place. And when you get to that point, the Lord's going to use you to make a declaration to the city and to the nation. Because that's what He's doing. He's reseating us. He's reseating us. Did you hear?
Yeah. I just had a word for the young people. And it's in Psalm 139. And it says, you have been fearful, each one are fearfully and wonderfully made. But this is the part I really want you to take hold of. And in that book, in that verse, it said, even before you came to be, the book has already written about your lives. So it's already been written by God. All you have to do now is seek and stay next to God, and He will reveal it to you. And He will reveal it to you through words of prophecy, for having people to encourage you, through words, through scriptures. But God knows how to speak to you because He was there right from the very beginning when you were in your mother's womb. That's how significant it is. So He has already got a book of life written with you in it.
Amen. So we're just going to finish off by holding hands, because this is the power of unity. So if you can grab a hold of the person, those of you at the back can come a little bit closer or connect and unite. You know what I love about in the Word of God is that He reveals to us His weapons of war, but His tools to build the kingdom. Psalm 133, we all know very well. How wonderful, how pleasant it is when God's people dwell in unity. And what does it say? He commands a blessing. Do you realize that when you simply hold the hand of the person next to you, you are now in the position to command a blessing? And this is how the blessing goes. That there will be an anointing that will happen. And it'll be like the anointing oil over the head of Aaron, over his beard. See, I've got a beard. You have a beard. Down through his robes and out, and it will flow. That's the blessing. So when you unite, you can command the blessing and the anointing will flow. and it will flow. And then you will know. Bless you.
Father, I thank you, Lord, for your countenance that's lifted up over every person in this house today, every person online. We thank you for your blessing resting on every life. Your favor is resting on every life. Your grace that's resting on every life. Lord, I thank you that this week would be a week of encounter with you, a week of revelation, a week of empowerment, a week of being moved and led by your Spirit, a week where the rivers of living water would flow out of our innermost being, Lord, into the community, into our families, into our workplaces, into people we meet. Lord, that this would be a week of being led by your Spirit to speak to this one or to that one. We want to thank you, Lord, for the great mission that you've called us into, the mission of Christ, the mission to take your word, your gospel, to every creature, to every corner of the earth. We want to thank you for your kindness. We want to thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much, Alfred and Mocha. God bless you both. Just loved hearing your hearts and your perspectives and your prophetic insights. Just fantastic. Thank you so much. Love you both. And thank you so much. Give them a God bless. Tonight, as Alfred made mention to, is a gathering that Vicky Trustram convenes and hosts. It's a prophetic worship night. She does it once a month. At the moment, Vicky, you're meeting in the lounge, but if a whole bunch turn up tonight, you might have to be in here or whatever. But anyway, so more than what you can fit into the lounge. So that's what tonight is. Have an awesome life. God bless you all.